Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show on this Tuesday. Joe Flacco in for the respect, and respect equals $120.6 million. Reminds me of that old Roy Firestone line. Roy Firestone's really, really good. In fact, for those of you who've watched the movie McGuire, he's the interviewer on at the end of the show interviewing Cuba Gooding Jr. All right? That's Roy Firestone. He has a Las Vegas act. And when I heard about the Joe Flacco line about respect, I remember the impersonation that he did of Keith Jackson. And he says, cottage football. What does cottage football mean to me? Oh, about $1 million a year contractually. That was Roy Firestone impersonating Keith Jackson. So Joe Flacco has $120.6 million worth of respect. Gonzaga, for the first time ever, is number one in college basketball. You know what's interesting about this? They wanted to be number one. Mark Few, the head coach at Gonzaga, who's done a great job with that program since taking over for Dan Munson, has kept them at or near the top out west the entire time. He said last week, look, we've never been number one before. It would be an important step for the program to be number one. So in an era where people are like, I don't know, and kind of shy, and it only matters at the end of the year. Here's a guy that openly embraces it. They're the number one. And the odd thing is, I don't know if it's enough to make him a number one seed in the tournament. Right now they'd probably be on the one seed line, but one thing that works against them, their schedule really works against them because they're not exactly playing murderer's row. As I pointed out yesterday, Penn State may be last in the Big Ten. They'd probably be third or fourth in that conference. It's the way it is. That's why it's a tough time this time of the year trying for one-bid conferences. Now, Gonzaga's in no matter what. I mean, they could tank in the opening round of the tournament there. They're going to be in. So that's not an issue. But they embrace being number one. Also, Dennis Rodman trying to do diplomacy with North Korea. What is the world coming to? First, above the noise. Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Kevin gearing up for Shikellamy Abington Heights.
And just as my friend Steve Jones taught me, I am prepped and ready to go. Did a little bit of it early this morning.
Well done. Well done.
Now, whether I remember it or not, by the time Friday rolls around, it's a whole different story.
You know what? You probably end up using 5% of what you prepare.
Yeah, that's about right.
And the 5% just changes every game.
Yeah, you never know what 5% you're going to need. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
speaking of Friday, speaking of Friday, I have really good news for you. Buhner is in the house on Friday.
Buhner. Wonderful, as I had requested.
See, you get excited when Buhner comes in. That hurts. You don't get excited when you're working with me.
Huh?
Exactly.
Well, there's only so many times we can talk about your kid on the air.
There's nothing to talk about.
That may be my point. Buhner. In the house. Well done. Looking forward to talking to Bob. That should be a great show on Friday. I'm really looking forward to that show. You don't sound happy.
I'm ecstatic about it. I can't wait till Friday. Not for the same reason, mind you.
Now, you're at 7 o'clock, right?
That is correct. It's about
at 7 o'clock.
It's about an hour and 40 minutes to make the trip, and it's one of the...
An hour and 40 minutes?
Yes. It's an hour and 40 minutes. I tripped it out last night.
It's up where Scranton is, right?
Yes. It's an hour and 40 minutes from this building.
Okay.
From the Sunbury Motor Studio East.
Mile marker 224 to 260. Okay, right. So that's, what, 36 miles?
Right.
Okay, and the way you drive, that should be 20 minutes. And it's 35 miles, so it's 70 miles.
I'm not sure what the mileage part of it is. I'll let you know. I'll find out in a minute.
Unbelievable.
Well, I've never been to this arena, a gym, whatever. I've never been to and called a game from Lackawanna College, so I don't know exactly what I'm getting into. So I want to make sure.
Buy a Garmin.
I have a Garmin. What are you talking about?
Well, then just don't. Buy a Garmin.
I have one.
Then you're fine.
This comes from a man who a couple of years ago said to me, "Can you tell me exactly where I'm going? Because my wife took my Garmin out of the car."
She did. She did. She took the Garmin out of the car.
I need my Garmin.
I mean, really?
You were going through Garmin withdrawal.
No.
The shakes.
I went to Boss. I didn't even have this thing.
86.86 miles.
86 miles?
Well, it's in Scranton. You only took me exit to the Danville exit to the Scranton exit on 81.
So that's 36 miles plus 35 on 81. So, that's 66 miles.
That's fine if I'm leaving from my house, but I'm not leaving from my house. I'm leaving from the top of Blue Hill. So it adds a little more time and a little more mileage to your quickly done math, which, by the way, was rather impressive that you're within 16 miles, I must admit.
Well, no, I was just doing the highway part. I didn't realize they're going to take you up in Hinder and Dale. It's 7 o'clock, so you'd have to leave at what? You'll probably leave at 3.
3:30, actually. Unlike you, I like to be able to get in. See, I have to set up. Now, this is something, I'm not poking fun, but, you know, this is something you got to remember. You don't have the setup problem. I mean, you walk in, Tarman's got everything all laid out there for you. He's got your little bottle of water ready to go. All you have to do is just plug in and go.
Okay.
I, on the other hand, a little bit more nervous about getting everything set up and working.
You? Well, I mean, you got to remember I do the spikes as well.
Yeah, but you don't set that up either.
Yes, I do. When I'm on the road, I set the whole thing.
Okay,
set the whole thing up.
Well, not the game that I went to. It was all set up, and you were just going around getting hot dogs and talking to people.
Yeah, but when I'm on the road, though, I'm not
saying you don't know how to set anything up. I'm not inferring that at all. But, you know, I've never been to this one before. I know I have to take the Central Scranton Expressway, and instead of making a left, make a right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And go into the heart of Scranton, and probably, actually, I think it's just not far from Route 11.
Steve Carell throwing out the first ball?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Come on, man.
I don't think so.
Need a little star power in this thing.
What exit did you say that I was getting off at, by the way?
Well, it would be exit 53, Central Scranton Expressway, if I remember my exits correctly.
Well, that's the old exit number, isn't it? Because I think it's 184 now.
Yeah, it's up by Drinker Street. It's no big deal.
By the way, why would you ever name a street Drinker Street? I would never want to drive on that street.
It may be named after a person.
I realize that, but still.
Why would anybody want to go to Her Avenue?
I'm not arguing that fact.
Okay. But, you know, if you want, we can name the street next to it his. That way we can go to his.
His in her lane. That's right. But Drinker Street goes right through Dunmore. I refuse to drive Drinker Street in Dunmore at night because it just I find that bad karma.
I've never been on it. I've always had to go past that. I go right to 84, so or 380 on 84. All right, so that's where we have to go. Now, do you have any kind of scouting report on this team?
Yeah, they're really, really good.
Oh, they all are at this stage. let's clear that hurdle.
All right, they have three guys that average double figures, or close,
or
very close to double figures. Their center is, I believe, 6'5", had 25 points the other night, including three dunks and a couple of blocks. They average about five steals a game, and their guards turn the ball over collectively about six times a game on average. They're starting guards.
Okay. And we have to remember, they don't know you either.
No, that's very true. Although I'm sure, as I said to the chief during the broadcast Saturday night, I'm sure there were some Scranton Prep and Abington Heights people in the crowd Saturday night at Shamokin watching that game.
That doesn't mean anything.
No, on the other side of it, Shikalimi's got three guards that can really shoot the ball. They average about 30%, 30,
right.
Actually 35% from 3-point.
You have to look at the positives your team brings to the table, the team you know.
I'm not saying no. Okay. I'm just giving the respect that's in due to Abington Heights.
Oh, you make it seem like it's Everest they're climbing.
Well,
they're
really good. They are really good.
They're really good.
They are. There's a reason they're 25-2.
And what? You're really good.
I'm not taking anything away from the way Shikalimi's played.
Remember what I told you.
What? Which part?
What's the most important part about the tournament?
That you're in it.
Yes. And once you're in it, you can win it.
Listen, I said this earlier.
Sports has changed. Sports has changed. You know, what used to be the rare upset, those games aren't even upsets anymore.
You're making it sound like I think that Shikalimi doesn't have a chance in this game. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Abington Heights is really good.
You made it seem like a daunting challenge. You're two playoff teams.
Although, if I make it sound like a daunting task and they do it, it makes the win a lot bigger. And I know you're going to disagree with that, so just go right ahead and go right into it. Just go right into it. Make the case for you. I could probably, because the first thing you're going to say is, how can it be bigger? How can the win be bigger? A win is a win.
At this time of the year, they're all big. You're now into the one-and-done territory. So in survive and advance, they're all big. There's no such thing as an insignificant win at this time of the year. Shikalimi wins the game on Friday. It is a huge, huge win. It can't be downplayed at all. You're now into the survive and advance one-and-done territory. This is the state tournament. This is the fun time. This is the time that you want to be involved in it. Well, I did a game with North Carolina back in 2001. Guess what I thought going into the game? I told Jerry Dunn you'll win by 6 to 8 points.
And?
They won by 8.
Yeah.
They won by 8.
Figures.
Look, you got to believe in the people around you.
I don't disbelieve it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Kevin panicked already. I guess he's leaving. What are you leaving at? What, 9:30 in the morning Friday?
No. 9:30 on Thursday, actually. We're staying overnight just to make sure. No, it's 3:30. I'll step out.
A.M.?
No, well, that's early. It's not A.M.
There's not a lot of traffic at that hour. You should be good.
That's what I'm hoping for. Abington Heights has exactly a 12-minute drive. That's the advantage of having home district.
Home.
No, I'm not complaining. It's just stating a fact that they have a 12-minute drive. That's all.
Yes. But, you okay. know, you and the chief in the car together. I mean, the chief travels well, right?
Oh, he travels great.
Yeah. Keeps his eyes shut.
Well, he does. Well, it's better than Coach Hort. Coach Hort actually falls asleep. It's really nice to have a conversation and then all of a sudden hearing him snore. Coach, you hear what I said? What?
<You're> talk-
yeah, okay. Thanks.
At least they're not falling asleep during the broadcast.
there was one time I actually was saying something to him, and I don't even remember what the question was, and there was silence. I said it again, and there was silence, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, Coach, oh, I'm sorry, Kevin, I wasn't even listening to you. Like, yep, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you. Moving right along,
kinda,
first and 10.
Kind of felt like at home, huh?
I did. Felt very comforting.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. To jump in and get involved in the conversation, the Kevin Hur rant of the day is just an hour away. We were loaded up yesterday with Dave Paulson getting ready for the Patriot League tournament. They get Navy opening round. Danny Hale on his retirement from Bloomsburg, and we had Coquise Washington on the show yesterday. So we've had a lot. We've had a lot. Today, a little hour time, a little open line time.
Well, I was going to ask you about the, you had mentioned it here a few minutes ago when at the beginning of the program about Gonzaga being number one. Is there a benefit to be number one at this time of year?
No benefit being ranked anytime. College basketball is a tournament. Okay? College football, the rankings mean everything because, you know, certain polls have been weighted in the past to determine who the BCS participants happen to be, from championship game to major bowl games. So that's where it has relevance. In college basketball, the relevance of a ranking is to assign a number, assign interest. You know, when Penn State beat Michigan the other day, you know, they beat number four. I mean, so that's the significance of it. But when you have a tournament, there really isn't a significance to being number one. The tournament committee can look at Gonzaga's resume, and even though they're the number one team in the country, they can assign them the number five overall seed based on their research, and they're a two. So it doesn't really, I mean, that part, that's pride and prestige and also interest in the game of college basketball. Duke's number one, Indiana's number one, Michigan's number one. Kansas is number one. Gonzaga is number one. Those have been the five number ones this year. But when it comes down to it, you have 37 at-large teams with 31 champions. So that's, you know, when you have a tournament like that, and it's not a closed situation. In college football, the top two teams make the championship game. Then you know, there's no issue.
But then it goes back to
Gonzaga being number one. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say it goes back to my question for years. Then does the regular season really mean that much?
Oh my God! Look at what we have going on here. It's what Mike DeCourcy and I got into on the show the other day. This fallacy. This is a national media created fallacy that the regular season in college basketball doesn't mean anything. Well, I'm sorry. It means everything. Now, to a team like Duke, they go into the season in all likelihood playing for a seed. Okay, I understand that. So certain teams may be playing for a seed. But look at North Carolina. Weeks ago, they were on the borderline of not being in the tournament. Now, they probably have themselves up to a 7-8, and looks like they're getting close to maybe being a 6, something like that. Okay. All right. Look at Kentucky. One of the true blue bloods of college basketball, correct?
Absolutely.
They're fighting their guts out. They're fighting their guts out to get in. They're not in.
Yeah, but all they have to do is win their conference tournament and they're in. That's the problem I have about
all
it.
All they have to do is right. their conference tournament.
I'm simplifying
in.
It. Yes, it's not going to be an easy conference tournament to win, but you could win your conference tournament and lose every game all year long and still make the tournament.
Guess what? They didn't win their conference tournament last year.
Well, then that's when having a good regular season benefits you, because you can get an at-large then. I get that.
They were a number one seed as an at-large last year. Okay? Look at Villanova trying to fight to get in. Right? That's where Villanova is right now. Villanova's trying to fight to get into the tournament. Regular season means everything.
Then why do we have the conference tournaments?
The conference tournament used to be the ACC invented it. Avenue to get in. Maryland had some great teams. Didn't make it. And when that started happening, that's when they started opening up the at-large process. But the conference tournaments, they do give you a second chance. No question about it. I think it's great to bring everybody together. And in all likelihood, you're going to have a team that probably is going to be in the tournament, win the tournament. Okay? In all likelihood. Right. It doesn't usually, you know, but anybody who thinks the conference, you know, that the regular season means nothing, are you kidding me? I've been in Penn State basketball for 31 years. If anybody in the face of the earth can tell you the relevancy of the regular season, okay, and how far you advance in a conference tournament, it's me. I've seen it where they've missed. I'm telling you right now, 1990 and the 2009 Penn State basketball teams should have been in the NCAAs. But because of relatively weak non-conference schedules that were put forward by those two teams, they didn't make it. And they both, I think, would have won one, maybe two rounds in the NCAAs. You know, 1990 ended up going to the NIT Final Four. They won 25 games that year. Of course, 27 wins in 2009, and they won the NIT. So if anyone can tell you the relevance and the roller coaster of a regular season as to whether it has any meaning or not, it's me. I've lived it for 31 years. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
Okay. Well, who do we Penn State finish up with the last two games?
They'll play Northwestern in Evanston on Thursday night. I'll do the from Evanston Thursday afternoon, and then Sunday at noon. And don't forget to move your clocks ahead an hour. They'll play at noon against Wisconsin.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I knew the Wisconsin was the last game, but I wasn't sure who the other one was.
Right. Northwestern out there in Evanston, 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
Okay. And as far as Kevin and his driving escapades, he should feel...
Oh, escapade's a good word. I like that.
He should feel honored that the coach would fall asleep on him. But he has that much confidence in him driving.
No, that's why he falls asleep, is because he doesn't want to see it.
Okay.
Hey, he'll tell you that, too.
Okay. Well, does he take any pills for that?
Well, you know what? You're driving along with somebody who actually taught driver's ed. That's really not the best thing to have happen.
Okay. That's good. I didn't expect that, but okay.
It's the truth. Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it. You know, it's also the same man that one time saw my slice and he said, "You know what I like about your swing?" I said, "What's that?" "Nothing." You always know you stand with Coach Hart.
I have to be honest with you. I've never seen anything like that.
It's pretty nasty.
I've never seen anything like it.
First tee, you were like, "Where's the hole again?" I said, "Straight out there." "Why are you pointing that direction?" "Just wait a minute."
Oh.
That's all I heard from Steve. Oh.
Yep. I think we should get out and play a practice round before we go out and play the real round.
Well, I'd like to. That would be nice. The weather would cooperate. That would be nice.
Well, it's only March now. I mean, we've got all of April, and you know, things will improve dramatically in April. It should be, you know, I think we ought to go out and play a practice round at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and get a feel for the course. And then when the day rolls up, I mean, because, I mean, last year I had not played a round of golf since September.
Here we go. You have to remind me.
So I'm just saying, would it be nice to have one under our belts, don't you think?
Yes. That's why I make my spring trip to Myrtle Beach every time, so I can get a round in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You had gone to Myrtle Beach. You'd played, like, I think, three or four times before last year, didn't you?
You wouldn't have known it, but.
Yeah. And then you got angry at me because I hadn't played since September. I mean, we're on the same team. Thought you'd be happy.
Ecstatic.
I mean, our teammates were great. You know, everybody high-fiving each other, the whole thing. You sulking. Well, it's bad. Spring training, by the way, continues.
How excited can you get for spring training?
We're going to have Steve Blass on tomorrow. Okay?
Okay.
Remember he pitched the Pirates in the 71 World Series?
Yep.
Won Game 7? I believe he's the guy I'm getting tomorrow from their organization.
But as a fan, I was watching the game on Sunday. And why? Saw a couple of, well, it's because I wanted to see who was playing. Some of these guys, honestly, I hadn't heard of. So I wanted to see who they were. But the pitching, I think it was Toronto. Man, I could have hit some of those fastballs that were being served across the plate. Howard hit a ball that I don't think has landed yet.
I always love when I hear that statement. I could have done
that. All right, so I'm exaggerating, but still, you're not going to throw. Who is throwing Ryan Howard a fastball about belt high? Who? Down the middle of the plate? No one. Someone who isn't going to make the team, that's why. I mean, there's a reason he hit that ball as long as he did. So it's hard to get overly excited when your team does well in spring training because it's, who did they play? Who did they play against? Who was on the mound? How long were they on the mound?
You know what? You can go 7-for-40 in spring training.
Yep.
If you go 3-for-4 on opening day, what's the deal? Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, but I know people that get excited when their team does really well in spring training. I don't know. I thought maybe there was something wrong with me.
No, I get no out of spring training. Spring training means nothing to me.
Now, I do like seeing these guys and these guys that are coming up and getting an idea of who they are with the hopes that someday I'll be able to see them in a major league uniform. That's the one thing I do like about spring training.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's what people like about minor league baseball. You know, whether it's Williamsport State College, Reading, or Allentown, or, you know, Harrisburg, whatever it happens to be. Altoona, Erie. You know, you get to see guys that eventually you see in the major leagues. Okay? I mean, look at the shortstop at Freddie Galvis, who last year played for the Phillies.
Right.
Yeah, we saw him start out at Williamsport. Yeah, and that's what makes it fun. A couple of the pitchers that they brought up during the course of the year started at Williamsport. That makes it fun. You feel like you followed their careers along. The spring training part of it, wow. There really is nothing I get out of that. Nothing. I think a long time ago, I'd be like, oh, it's spring training. Let's see. And I'd look at every box score. And then you start to realize that how irrelevant it is. Well, it is.
No, I'm laughing because you're right.
I mean, it's not all it is practice and workouts. So for them, it's relevant. For us as fans, it doesn't mean anything. In other words, if you go through spring training and say your team goes 7-23, okay, and you sweep the first three games of the regular season, guess where you are? You're 3-0, and you're in first place. So, I mean, that's when it really starts. That's when it counts.
I guess the most intriguing thing of watching spring training is the pitchers more than the hitters. Because I always feel... Now, tell me if I'm wrong. I always think the hitters' numbers are inflated.
No, I think the most intriguing part of spring training deals with the last five roster spots. Okay? That's where, to me, the most intriguing part of spring training is. Most teams have their lineups relatively set or feel good about it. Most teams have their rotation set, feel pretty good about it. There's no real surprise where suddenly a guy wins a rotation spot in the spring. It happens once in a while, but not often. Most teams know who their closer is. So who do those last five spots go to? That utility guy, that extra outfielder, that middle reliever, that setup, you know, and even a setup guy is usually set. I mean, that's what you look at. Maybe there's a battle for a fifth starter. Okay? Those are the intriguing things as to where you're tracking specific individuals that might take those spots. Because you and I both know Ryan Howard's in the opening day lineup.
Yeah, he better be.
No, but I'm saying, though, but we know he's in the opening day lineup. You know Chase Utley should be in the opening day lineup. You know Jimmy Rollins in the opening day lineup. The difference is, who are the other guys going to be? That, to me, is the relevance of spring training. That is like watching preseason football. Who takes up those last few roster spots? You know going in, Ben Roethlisberger is your quarterback. But who might be that extra running back? Who might be that extra receiver? Who might be that extra linebacker that you may need? Okay, I mean, that's what you look at. It's usually those are the spots that are determined. Preseason NBA basketball, same thing. You're looking to see who's going to take up the 10th and 11th spots on the roster. You already know who your startup is. Hockey, who might be on your fourth line? Who might be that fifth or sixth defenseman? I mean, that's what spring training is about. You're trying to me, it's roster spots 21 through 25. That's where you find out. And, of course, if somebody gets hurt and they're out for a while, that adds on significance to spring training. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS just $15,943, a 2010 Ford Transit Connect wagon four-door XLT, lowest price guaranteed $16,496, 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $69,996, 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab $17,955, and a 2011 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited four-wheel drive just 5,100 miles only $39,99. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and at our dealership routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Kevin just told me that Abington Heights has Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So.
I did not say that. I said he's probably about 5 inches shorter. Not Kareem. I mean, you made it sound like I didn't think anybody has a chance. It's not that. I'm giving respect to Abington Heights. I mean, they've had a really solid year, and they have a lot of good players. That's all I was doing. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hey, listen, last year, Shigalemi went in as major underdogs against Allentown Central Catholic and almost beat them.
I remember.
At home.
I remember.
Almost a basically an ACC home game.
I remember, and I gave you that same speech a year ago.
I remember yesterday. How do you remember a year ago?
I remember like we just gotta go down to South Dakota. Just settle down. You play your game. You hit some shots. You might beat them.
Well, that's what happened in the second half. They hit some shots.
It's amazing what shots mean. You hit shots, it just changes everything. That's why I talk about the ability in the NCAA tournament. And I think it's the same thing in the PIAAs. The ability to change speed. You may be able to play your style, and there may be some spots open on the floor because of scouting that haven't been open now for 2 months. And then there's going to be a game or two along the line. You got to grind that darn thing out and like fight your way to the finish and hit some free throws and play some defense and the whole thing. If you can play at two speeds competently, your ability to survive in advance will be enhanced. But remember this. They don't know you, and you don't know them. I think there are going to be some spots open on the floor Friday night that haven't been open for a month and a half. You'd be amazed. I mean, every time I get to postseason play, whether it's the NIT or the NCAAs, right, when you finally get out of the grip of the conference or the district, right, where scouting is so good and they know, like, you know, you were talking about what Ernie and TJ and whatever. Well, everybody knows what they can do, right? In the league.
In the league, right? Yeah. Ernie and CJ are well known.
Yeah, get okay. They don't know up there. They can guess. Okay? But something tells me there are going to be spots open on the floor that haven't been open for 2 months. Now you got to make them. See, the difference is the Shikellamy fans are feeling better when they talk. You have panicked.